Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Hello and welcome to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm your host, Ryan McNally. On today's show, we tee up a busy weekend in Fort McMurray with winter play kicking off. We chat with Amelie Gravel from Barbagazzi and Mayor Sandy Bowman about what to expect during winter play. We also chat with Matt Decker of the Fort McMurray Oil Barons, who have a big couple of games coming up this weekend. Joining me on the phone here today is Amelie Gravel. She's the Director of Business Development for Tribu, helping bring Barbagazzi to Fort McMurray for winter play. Amelie, how are you doing here today?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Ryan, for having me.
Hey, thanks for joining us here. Maybe just fill us in. What is Barbagazzi all about for those who don't know?
Yeah, that's a great question. But in a nutshell, Barbagazzi is a crazy fun winter festival that goes down in urban environments. It's the go-to event for winter sports enthusiasts with, I would say, like a unit activities to try out with family and friends. I think our goal is to inspire people of all ages to fully embrace like the snowy season. So in the context of the winter play festival, we're going to introduce the freestyle snowmobile demo featuring renowned professional athletes. And also we're going to have a few more activities.
Care to describe those different activities that are going to be taking place with Barbagazzi?
Yeah, so from February 23rd to March 3rd, people who's going to turn out will have the opportunity to enjoy like the human curling. So can you picture that? It's you are like the curling stone. So you're going to play with teams, and obviously, like all the players will fly towards the bullseyes and aiming to get it as close as possible. So you're going to have really to have to experience that. Also, there's going to be like the giant slingshot. You're going to have the fat bike course, snow skate park, and that's pretty much it. Yeah.
This sounds like something that could be fun for the entire family. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah, obviously it's really participative. It's for all ages, like I said previously. We wanted to bring some activities that, you know, people from the destination don't have the opportunity to experience like really often. So this event we took place in different kind of other destination in the past, and I believe like it's going to be really exciting for all the family and friends that are going to turn out at the event.
How excited are you to be coming up to Fort McMurray here in the next little while?
I'm really excited. I would say that we've been working with the Fort McMurray, the municipality, for years. It started before the pandemic because we held the event also in Banff just before the pandemic hit, and we had someone from the municipality who came and experienced the event, and was super kind of excited about the activities and the snowmobile demo. So basically we wanted to bring at that time the event to Fort McMurray, and since we had a kind of a little break for it because of the pandemic, then we're super excited now to make it happen, and it's real. And so it's going to be fun, and we're super excited because people from the destination are really welcoming. So we had the opportunity to to visit Fort McMurray back in autumn. And we're one of our team members is already currently in Fort McMurray right now, and I'm flying next week, and so super excited.
It has to be pretty exciting to add something like Barbagazzi to an event that already has a bit of a tradition tied to it, like Winter Play.
Yeah, correct. The first time we produced the event, it was at the Olympic Stadium in Montreal back years ago. The tradition started there, and then we went to Denver, Colorado, and then we went to PEI Chowtown, and then we had a stop also, like I said, in Banff. So now we're heading to Fort McMurray, and we are really confident that people will enjoy it the fullest, the winter season, with new activities and a stunning show that we're going to bring during the weekend next week.
Could you just walk us through the process of bringing a winter festival like Barbagazzi to a new city like Fort McMurray?
I mean, it starts always by relationship. So the first time we met the people from the municipality was in the trade show. It's a trade show that takes place every year, in different location in Canada. So the main purpose of this trade show is to gather, everyone from the tourism industry and the sports industry together and make sure that we mingle and we create relationships. So I would say the first step is, building strong relationships, connection, and then sharing the same goal, which is, bring some eyeballs to the destination and make sure that people want to visit, the destination, because at the very, I think one of the main goal is to create some hype. There's a tourism twist to all that. And also we want to bring the community together. So with all these goals, that common goals, we started to have, strong conversation, and it started like that. And then afterwards, it's communication. And so we never stopped communicating together throughout the years, even though the pandemic was there. And when, all the normal life, I would say, quote to quote, but normal life, started back, then we just, carry on the conversation. And then now we have a super excited project, and hopefully people will enjoy it. That's pretty much it.
Weather can no doubt play a role in an event like this. How do you prepare for the different types of weather that could take place, be it freezing cold or kind of what we're seeing recently with near zero temperatures?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. I mean, Barbagazzi is not the only event that we produce. So we just finished a really massive event within the programming of the Carnaval de Québec, because we're based out of Montreal, and we partnership with other events. So it's the same weather here in Quebec. I would say it's pretty kind of uncertain. But I would say our mantra attribute is a quote from Maya Angelou. It's pretty common, but it's plan for the worst, hope for the best. It's always a matter of planning is the key for a successful event. So we always plan, for the worst, like I said. So we always have a plan B and plan C. And we have to think of the worst case scenario. And so we're super prepared to face, different kind of situation, whether, like I said, I mean, communication is key. So we are always in touch with the municipality and the wonderful team that is working there. So we have like, you know, weekly meetings with them, and I think we have to stay informed, and we have to monitor weather forecasts regularly to stay updated on any changes in weather patterns. And obviously, this is helping a lot to anticipate, you know, all the scenario that we can face during the event. So, we don't know, like, I mean, we never know in life, but I think just by team up with experts and listen to them and listen to their recommendation and advice helps considerably to just like deliver a premium event. So yeah, planning.
Amelie Gravel, the Director of Business Development for Tribu, thank you so much for your time here today.
Thank you, Ryan, for having me. And hopefully you'll join us next week at Winter Play.
We'll be back with more next on Fort McMurray Matters. Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm your host, Ryan McNally. Joining me on the phone here today is Mayor Sandy Bowman. Mayor, how are you doing here today?
Doing great. Beautiful sunny day in Fort McMurray, so we're excited.
Yeah, looking forward to a fun weekend here. I imagine you're pretty excited for Winter Play this year.
Yeah, we're always excited for Winter Play. This event started back in 2007 and it's been growing every year. And as it grows, more community involvement. We have thousands of residents get down to the SNI area to enjoy all those activities. So it's something we're really proud of. And it's one of those things we talk about being a northern community. It's really what exemplifies what we're good at in the winter and the fun things to do and the fun things to get out with your family and enjoy the winter season.
Walk us through some of the events and what people can expect over the next 10 days.
There's so much going on. It is a packed 10 days of events. I'll go over right away just something we're introducing this year, Barbara Gazzi, which is from the company Tribu. Our administration has been talking to them since before the pandemic, really. This is the second time they've done this show in Canada. So it's a high-level X Games type of sled demonstration shows where they'll be doing stunts and tricks, some that are only one of the some of the athletes are the only athletes in the world that can do these tricks. So there's five different individuals coming from all over the country. One is actually his hometown is Fort McMurray, but they're all X Game athletes coming here to put on this show for Fort McMurray. So we're really excited about that. That's going to be something you're going to see over a few days. But the first day when it goes on, you're going to see it's going to set off the fireworks. So we'll have the show going on, and then we'll have fireworks going right after it. But also what Barbara Gazzi brings with us is a lot of activities that the community can take part in. We have human curling going on, giant slingshot, fat bike course, and snow skating. Those are things we've never done before at Winter Play that have been added to it this year. And with that company coming here, Barbara Gazzi, we have a lot of local people that have been hired to support this, these events and the courses and setting it up, and as well as assisting all the residents. So we're really excited about this new addition to it.
It is always great to add something new to a tradition like Winter Play. So how exciting is it for you to bring Barbara Gazzi to Fort McMurray?
Oh, extremely. Like I said, this is only the second time they've done this in Canada. So it's going to be exciting. I know growing up watching Evel Knievel, no matter how many times he did it, I was always on the edge of my seat hoping he was going to be okay. So now we have this coming forward with this death-defying stunts from these snowmobilers that I think is going to be something that's never been seen before in the region.
I can imagine this is a pretty big boost to the local economy over the next 10 days with all of the events happening.
Yes, for sure. As well as that, as as you said, booster economy. We have people coming from out of town just to see the winter play this year, just to see this Barbagazi as one of the attractions for it. But also, we have so much going on during the week for this. For example, for that is even the shootout in Snai, which is 2019 is basically playing pond hockey with 170 players that are involved in that one event.
Do you have a favorite part and or event with winter play?
Me, it's always going to be the hockey. That's always going to be my answer, no matter what the question is. But there's so much going on. I mean, growing up owning horses, we have horse-drawn wagon rides going on. We have dog sled rides going on. One of the additions this year, which is really fabulous, that we've been adding into most of our events is the Trapper's Tent, which we have Borealis Park, which will have one of the elders there, and we'll be doing a bannock on a stick. There'll be a night sky teaching, as well as fireside storytelling that's going to be happening at the Trapper's Tent with the elders. So that's always something that's really, it kind of brings back the culture and the meaning of the location where winter play happens.
Yeah, it's good to, you know, celebrate the outdoor activities you can do, but also tie in that culture in with an event
exactly.
Like this, isn't it?
100%, yeah, that's right.
And, of course, events like this don't happen or are as successful without great volunteers. Could you touch on that point as well?
Absolutely. Lots of volunteers. And with that as well, volunteers, also our administration staff that put in extra time and hours. We have to thank our municipal staff here. I speak to them. I've been one in particular talking to almost every day. And she's been in a panic and different things. And with the weather we're having, they put a lot of work into it. The amount of hours the staff puts in alone, most of it will be chalked up to volunteer hours because you can't pay somebody 27 hours a day of the work they put in. So a lot of thanks to municipal staff. But also we have a lot of sponsors that actually helped out. One of the biggest ones is United Rentals. Which will be involved with the ice sculptures we're seeing. But we have A1 Portables, Acton Environment, Aluma Safeway, ATCO, Burnco, Culligan Waters, Site One, Trident, as well as Quick Sit Seating, which will be benefit to people have a place to sit during the events. So we have a lot of partners that are involved, but it's one of those things that the whole community has to come together to make it a success. And a lot of that is even just the people coming down to attend it. And there's something in there for everybody. It's a family-friendly event. There's events there for everyone. And the only thing that really needs to be booked, if people are looking at the events online on our RMW website, is our Rankin Fireside bookings. So if people wanted to have the family and friends out for a skate, there is a booking schedule for that, as well as to book a fire pit down there to hang around with your family and maybe do some s'mores and that sort of thing.
And I'm glad you brought up the weather a little earlier. It looks like a great day for opening day on Friday, but what weather precautions are in place, be it either too warm or too cold?
The weather precautions, right now, because of lack of snow, we've been actually bringing snow from our arenas down there to facilitate for snow for the events. But also, we've moved a few venues just so they're away from ice where it's safer for people to walk. It's really the only things they've done. And we look for safety as well, as we have for the X game activities, there's barriers and that sort of thing, make sure the residents are safe watching the events.
Does winter play make you, as mayor, feel like the city kind of just comes together for those 10 days to enjoy what the city has to offer?
Absolutely, but it's also every event we do here, it is like that. It doesn't matter what the event is, but winter play is one of the big ones. And honestly, from my office window, I can see the whole thing from here. It looks directly onto the Snai and the rinks down there, so I can see all that right from my office. So it's definitely a sense of pride in the community having this event here, and it building every year and getting bigger and bigger. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention the men's hockey team that won last year was actually McMurray's Finest, led by one of our counselors, Counselor Ball. So I definitely give him a shout out for his team last year, and I'm sure everyone's trying to get that cup away from that team this year.
Awesome. Mayor Sandy Bowman, thank you so much for the time chatting about winter play today.
Thank you, and we'll look forward to speaking again.
Coming up next, my conversation with the Fort McMurray Oil Baron's own Matt Decker on Fort McMurray Matters. And we're back on Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Ryan McNally. Joining me on the phone here today is the broadcaster for the Fort McMurray Oil Barons, Matt Decker. Matt, how are you doing here today?
Doing well here. The team's coming off a very interesting weekend here. First time they played in about 2 weeks was a long road trip, but it was a good one for the team.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about that trip to Camrose, picking up 3 points over the Family Day weekend. That had to be encouraging. How did you see those games?
Well, the first game on Thursday in Camrose, it looked like a team who had not played a game in 12 days. It was a little bit rusty. To kind of name the title of one of my favorite Clint Eastwood movies, we really saw the good, the bad, and the ugly of the Oil Barons throughout the weekend there. At times, they looked like a very dominant team. The second game against Camrose in the second and third period, they outshot the Eagles 37-15. Against Camrose, they had a very good first and third period, but they fell behind the eight ball in the second period where they kind of shut off, and then a back-and-forth overtime frame where it could have gone either way, and the Kodiaks just had an on-man rush and managed to find the back of the net. For the Oil Barons right now, they're really trying to build some momentum for the playoff push, especially with the postseason just 4 games away. Because once you get to that dance there, which every team is doing this season, you never know what could happen.
Yeah, last home games of the regular season coming up this weekend. I imagine those are pretty crucial games here for the Barons.
Big games for sure. Really, the big thing about this weekend with them being the last two home games, it's the number one team in the league right now, the Whitecourt Wolverines, coming to town. So this is a very good measuring stick game for the Oil Barons to see where they are since the changes have been made. It's been a very tight, low-scoring affairs between Whitecourt and Fort McMurray so far this year, where the Wolverines have outscored Fort McMurray only 5-1 in the 2 games to play. And now it's really a new-look Oil Barons to see if this new system matches up well against Whitecourt, who's been a pretty good team as of late. They've won 8 of their last 10 games, including the last 4 in a row. It's also the return of Evan Arnold, who was traded to Whitecourt during the trade deadline, and he's been red hot for the Wolverines, having points in all 10 games he's played in and on an 11-game point streak. A lot of very intriguing storylines going into this weekend. We're hoping to see big crowds at Center Fire Place. That will help fire the boys up as they try to send home this crowd with a big regular season finale at home ice.
Yeah, you know, you did kind of touch on this, but what have you seen from the now number one team in the AJHL, Whitecourt, this season? Just hard defensive play?
Very much so, and it really starts in goal with Ben Charette. Now, I will say this. I don't know what the status is of Charette. He was hurt, has not played since the end of January. And this is a guy who is probably the leading goaltender in the league, maybe even the favorite for goalie of the year. He picked up a scholarship to Harvard University, tons of shutouts. He leads the league in a lot of different categories. It starts, it ends with him, but even with him out of the lineup, Lucas Renault has been excellent, the backup goaltender who has experience with Cowichan Valley of the BCHL last year, and he's got 5 wins in a row as a personal record for him. So the goaltending is very key for Whitecourt. They also play a man system, kind of like what the Oil Barons have switched to defensively, and teams aren't used to seeing that. It really gives them fits, and they really run it to a T. And then offensively, well, we mentioned a little bit about Evan Arnold, but you can't keep your eyes off of Colby Brown, who's over a point a game and in the top 5 in the AJHL in scoring. Whitecourt is a deep team. They have lots of weapons. They are very strong defensively, and the biggest key for the Oil Barons is finding a way to break that armor and get pucks in behind a Whitecourt's goaltenders.
And no doubt this is going to be a fun weekend coming up off the ice. But on the ice, I imagine it's all about trying to hurdle Drayton Valley for 9th in the AJ and try and play Grand Prairie.
Yes and no. They haven't seen Grand Prairie since the end of November, and I'm very interested to see what the Storm looks like. That's the last weekend of the regular season for the Oil Barons. When the Oil Barons played Grand Prairie last, Thomas Marinkovic was still on the Storm, and he was really a key piece. I know a lot of people are like, yeah, he's kind of an okay player, but he opened up the ice for a lot of the other top players on the Storm, like the Alex Atwells, the Peter Capettis, the Matt Corbeys. With him gone and back in the Western Hockey League, Grand Prairie is really missing that punch up front. It'll be interesting to see how big of an impact that is. That being said, if the playoffs started today, the Fort McMurray Oil Barons would be matched up against the Canmore Eagles, a team they have had success against, winning 3 of 5 games this regular season, and that's a team that really they're confident in. I have a feeling so long as they can avoid Camrose in that first round, who's won 4 of 5 games against the Oil Barons this season, they'll be happy with either of the matchups against Canmore or against Grand Prairie.
And again, not like the season's over after these home games, but still, how big are these last four games of the season, including the two at home this weekend, and then the two in Grand Prairie to wrap up the season. I imagine these are pretty big measuring stick games here for the Barons.
Definitely the ones on home ice, as we mentioned earlier, and then Grand Prairie is a team that's right around you in the standings. The biggest key for the Oil Barons, because they're not going to have home ice advantage in the play-in series. Mathematically, it's not possible anymore. But what they want to do is build momentum, build confidence going into the playoffs. Because if you get that matchup you want in the first round, you get yourself a hot goaltender, you get guys rolling like Carter Schmidt, who's on 8-game point streak, 17 points in those 8 games. Keenan Ingram's another guy who's starting to find his footing for the Oil Barons with a 5-game point streak. You get guys who are firing going into the playoffs. And all it takes is one upset to really launch this team into a deep run. So momentum is the big thing for the Oil Barons. What I would consider success heading into the playoffs is if they can win 2 or 3 of their last 4 regular season games.
What are your thoughts on the updated playoff structure for the AJHL? It seems like this will be a maybe just a this year thing, but it gives every team a chance, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's very much a this year thing, and it's really interesting seeing the top 5 teams get a bye into the first round and let the bottom 6 teams fight it out. I mean, the league kind of had to do something with the 5 teams that left, and this gives a chance for everybody to be in the playoffs. Originally, it was going to be the top 14 teams in the league. Now that you only have 11 left, it's very intriguing to see what the league came up with, and it's going to be fun. You have that best of 5 series, which puts a lot more pressure on the game 1 of that series. You don't want to fall behind early in the series because you're in that much more danger of falling out of the postseason. Again, you get teams like Camrose, who's been really hot as of late, having won 8 of their last 9 games. Oil Barons with points in the last 2 here. Even Drayton Valley's been sneaky good as of late. Any of those teams get firing, and if you're one of the top 5 teams, you might be looking at the teams below you in that play-in series going, oh my gosh, they're now rolling on all cylinders here, and at least for what I feel like is a very wide open playoff race. I don't know who's going to win this one. Obviously, Whitecourt is the favorite, being the top team in the league, but you can't write off Bonnyville, you can't write off Calgary, you can't write off Lloydminster, and you can't write off any of those bottom 6 teams. It's a very intriguing playoff format. It's going to be a lot of fun, in my opinion, and I know I'm excited after not seeing playoffs last year with my former employer to see playoffs again this year.
We won't get into it too much, but how are the players feeling after the whole situation with those 5 teams leaving the AJHL?
You know, it's been very interesting because I have asked a few of the guys this question in my own interviews I've run for hockey games, and really, it's the mentality is it is what it is. They're not really hooked up in, oh, these 5 teams don't want to be part of the AJHL. There's a little bit of uncertainty, sir. And we saw a few players leave the team in the recent last couple of weeks. But the boys are excited. They now know that they're going to be in the playoffs. And the entire focus right now is, hey, let's build up momentum going into the postseason and see if we can't make a run and maybe even surprise a few teams to get the 4th championship in franchise history.
Off the ice, the Oil Barons are running their Dream Home Lotto. Give us those details for those still wanting tickets.
It's massive here, and it's coming up fast. The final cutoff is on Saturday. You got to get your tickets before the end of the day, 11:59 p.m. If you wait till after that, you won't be able to get your tickets. And this is the big draw. This is the biggest fundraiser for the Oil Barons. It's really a big reason why the team can be the team they are in terms of travel, in terms of building an excellent program. You got the Dream Home up for grabs at 141 Cobblestone Bay, a beautiful, beautiful home, great rec room in the basement, amazing kitchen, a good view over the Athabasca River on the north end of town. There's also 9 cash prizes up for grabs, ranging from $1,000 to $25,000. Want to pad your wallet a little bit? Well, you got to get yourself a ticket. They also have their own 50-50 going on right now, and I believe, if I remember correct from my conversation with team president David Fitzgerald, that's over $300,000 right now, and you'll walk away with half of it. You don't want to miss out. It's a huge way to support this team, and let's face it, it takes an entire city to make junior hockey possible, no matter where you are at, especially here in Fort McMurray, and you can walk away with a lot more cash in your pocket. You could also walk away with a beautiful home in Fort McMurray.
Alrighty, awesome stuff, Matt. Looking forward to a fun weekend for the Fort McMurray Oil Barons. Thank you so much for the time here.
Hey, thank you for having me, Ryan. It should be a fun push to the playoffs.
That was our show for today. A big thank you to my guests for joining the show. That does it for a full week of shows here on Fort McMurray Matters. We'll have lots more great content to share with you starting on Monday next week. Thank you for listening to Fort McMurray Matters. I'm Ryan McNally. Have a great day.